15 says this. It says, and Jesus said, He looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might have eternal life to those who he has given. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on the earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had before the world began. Father, I thank you, God, for your anointing, God, this morning. I thank you, God, for your help, God. God, give us ears to hear, God, what your Spirit wants to speak in us today. God, we're open. God, we open our heart as a place, God, for you to write your truth on this morning. And God, we thank you. Teach us this morning. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Jesus says, this is eternal life, that I may know God. To know God. We started a series kind of, now I was going to say accidentally, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit, literally on a Sunday morning, 3 weeks ago. And just felt impressed to keep kind of going on with that, to know God, to know God. Jesus said that this is eternal life, that we may know God. Well, I don't know if you know or not, but this is Palm Sunday. Amen? This is, and so we're going to read the Palm Sunday scripture, and we're going to delve into some ideas and some things this morning. So Luke chapter 19, verse 28. It says, after Jesus has said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there with no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, I love Jesus, just do it. It'll be great. Nothing can go wrong. Just go grab somebody's, you know, donkey. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, which they probably will, say the Lord needs it. I'm sure that'll work out. I'm sure that'll be great. Those who were sent ahead went, and they found it just as he had told them. And when they were untying the colt, his owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. Okay. And they brought it to Jesus. Like, I want to know a little bit more of this. I want to see the question mark on the guy's face. Why are you taking my donkey? That has nothing to do with my message. But anyway, it's how I read scripture, so praise the Lord. He said, they replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus. They threw the cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As they went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. When they came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. This is why we celebrate Palm Sunday. Is the triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. This is right after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The whole city is buzzing about Jesus coming in to Jerusalem. Little did they know that a few days later, Jesus would be crucified. But this was the time. All this time before, Jesus had always told him, hey, when he did a miracle, hey, be quiet, don't tell anybody. Right? But this was the moment. This was the moment that all the disciples waited for. Finally, we get to celebrate Jesus for who he is. We get to honor him in front of everybody for what Jesus has done. We get to be that people that get to praise God. Right? And so, this is why we celebrate Palm Sunday. We see the whole city in just joyful praise. It talks about in other places where they grab the palm branches, right, and wave them. This is actually, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. Like palm branches, the waving of palm branches is very, you know, it's very cultural for the Jewish people, right? It was a sign of worship. But let me just say, this word, it says, another translation says, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, right? Hosanna. Hosanna. That's the word, when you think about Palm Sunday, that's the word you think about, right? Hosanna. This word is really, I said, well, what does that really mean? Like, what is Hosanna? Hosanna, right? If you've ever been to a, how many of y'all have been to like church performances where they did the big Palm Sunday thing and they're yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, right? You ever wonder like, okay, what does that like really mean? It's like, hallelujah. Like, what does that word Hosanna really mean? It's actually an interesting word. It says it comes from Old Hebrew, like in the Old Testament, further back, several hundred years before this. It really kind of, it's like a definition, it kind of evolved over that time, right? So back in early Hebrew culture, the word Hosanna was a cry for help, right? It was a cry for the help of God, right? Does that make sense? Just follow me. Hosanna, and then later, the word actually kind of shifted to mean like that cry for help had been answered. That Hosanna was like a shout of salvation has come. So when they're shouting Hosanna, they're talking about salvation has come. Our answer has come. But it's even greater than that because the word Hosanna is not really a defined word. It's a more of a shout of exuberation. Like sometimes when the Falcons win. Like sometimes, I know, sometimes. Right? Like when it's just a shout like from here. It's just a hooray, shout. Woo! Like, you know, what's his name? Ric Flair.
Oh, no.
It's Ric Flair. Woo! Thank you. Woo! That is Hosanna. Like that, seriously. That is a definition of Hosanna. It's Ric Flair. That's the expression. It kind of comes out of here, right? And there's no word to describe it. It's just, woo!
Yes.
It's a shout, right? And so that's what they're doing. They're shouting. It is not a Hosanna, like we saw in the old, you know, we've seen in all of our productions. Blessed is he who comes in. I'm just making that song up right now. But just the, I'm going to make fun of that later. But it's not just the, you know, it's shouts of joy. It's shouts of exuberance. It's just, I mean, it is not the, you know, calm. No, these guys are excited. They're shouting. They're joyous. Jesus has come. He's in Jerusalem. The rub is, if I can get technical real quick, the rub is, they were really kind of a little off of why Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. Because really, they thought that Jesus was, okay, the Romans, you're in trouble now. Jesus has come, right? Jesus is coming. You guys are toast. Have you seen what these guys, he's been doing? But they still celebrating the fact that Jesus has come. Jesus has come. And my heart for you this morning is to understand that these shouts came from here. They came from a place of true worship and true praise. And I want to speak on the subject of worship this morning. I want to talk about of how we worship our God and how we sing honor to Him and how we give Him glory. Man, it's good. It's good to sing celebration. It's good to clap. It's good to shout. But it's good also, I'm going to read this in Luke chapter 7, but it's also good to know your God through worship. To know Him through worship of Him. Listen to this story in Luke chapter 7. It says this. I'm reading lengthy scriptures this morning, so just hang on. I figured y'all are ready because y'all came in on a crazy, stormy Sunday morning. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman that in the town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. She stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped with her hair, she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured pure perfume on them. When the Pharisee, don't you love the Pharisees? Come on. Like, don't you love religious people? Like, the religious people are yelling at Jesus for them worshiping him, right? And praising him. Now the Pharisees, this is earlier, but now the Pharisees are going, what in the world? Like, the Pharisees who had invited them saw them and said to themselves, if this is a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him and said, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will he love more? Will love him more? Simon said, it's easy, Jesus. I finally got a good one, right? I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. Peter's like, here we go. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I've entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, though her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown, whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. So what is worship? Worship is this woman with the alabaster box. Worship is the heart of this woman poured out on Jesus. No doubt she knew who Jesus was. Obvious. But no doubt also she knew who she was. And she knew the grace and mercy of Jesus. Right? Maybe she had heard the story of the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery and Jesus forgave her. Right? And offered her forgiveness. And her heart poured her love on Jesus. Worship. Worship is when your heart connects and loves on God for what He has done for you. Or just the fact of who He is. The word worship defined is this, for those of you who like definitions. Properly, it's to kiss the ground when prostrating, like an utter dependence before a superior. To worship, to fall down prostrate, to prostrate oneself, to adore, to do obeisance. Obeisance. How many of y'all know what the word obeisance means? That's fantastic. Neither did I. So, obeisance means deferential respect. Deferential respect. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Deference means to implies a yielding, submitting to the judgment of a recognized superior or respect or reverence. Out of reverence. It's you deferring to someone else. you deferring to someone else authority? You deferring respect to someone else? So when you worship, what are you doing? You are deferring your will to His will. Your honor to His honor. You're deferring your own recognition for His renown. Right? You defer your own accomplishments to His accomplishments. You defer your accolades for His accolades. You defer your own praises. You defer it to His praises. And you defer your own fame to His fame. It's deference. You deferring your glory, your goodness, whatever you think about yourself to Him. It's a position that you put yourself in to say, hey, look, I am not God. God, you are God. It's prostrating. It's kissing, right, the ground. It's to bend forward to worship, to bow, to lay prostrate, vulnerable to somebody else. That's worship. You defer your whatever is in you to Him. We worship Him out of a heart, out of not just a religious duty, right? It's not out of a religious duty. It's something that comes out of your own heart. Like the woman with the alabaster box didn't like sit through a service and go, you know, I heard about this lady who took some oil. I'm going to do exactly what she did. She did it out of her own heart. Her own brokenness. Can you imagine this woman? Not just her sin, but her brokenness of who she was, that she would give herself time and time again to other men. Think about the brokenness that would be caused in her. And in her crying out for mercy with real tears that so gushed out of her eyes that it wet the feet of Jesus. This isn't something that was worked up. They didn't have she didn't have Brian Jardine. Let me just lead you in this time of worship. She didn't need a worship leader. She didn't need, come on. It was out of the abundance of her love for Jesus. And then Jesus makes the point. Why does she, you know, and the Pharisees looked at her with disdain. Jesus says, you don't see her brokenness. You don't see where she's been through. You don't see her cry for mercy. You don't know, as the song says, you don't know what that alabaster box cost her. It says, because she's been forgiven much, she loves much. I'll make this point and we'll move on. Some of us need to remember what we've been forgiven much of. Yes. We need to re-remember what we've been forgiven of. Like, you know. You know what you've been forgiven for. And God pours His love on you. And all we can do is just respond and worship back to Him. So, I just wanted to read some scriptures. So how do you worship? Like, what does that like look like? Well, I'm just going to read some scriptures about some positioning, if you will. Right? There's different types of outward expressions of worship that's found in the Word of God. Right? So maybe you're kind of new to all this, you know, lifting your hands and all the expressive worship and everything. I just wanted to kind of give a baseline that this is like biblical. Like a lot of this stuff is just biblical in the Word of God, right? Normal life as a Christian, right? From the Word. One of the ways is actually, I'm just going to say it. How many of y'all remember Carmen? Anybody remember Carmen? Yeah. Carmen? He did a, Nathaniel, how do you remember Carmen? That's from your dad. Yeah, absolutely. So, how many of you ever heard there's seven types of worship, seven types of praises? Well, Carmen did a song. I was tempted to play it, but my wife said, nobody's going to know that. Okay, so it was all good. But there are seven types, right? I just want to go to them, and they all have connected Hebrew words. I'm not going to bore you with all that, but I do want to give you the scriptures of what they have to do. One way is to kneel. To kneel. Psalms 95, verse 6 says this, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." As a sign of reverence, right? You kneel, you bow before. And it's, again, it's that deference. I'm giving God superiority. I am putting myself in my own place, right? Here's one. What about to shout loudly? I heard somebody say, you know what? They don't need no shouting. God's not deaf. God's not deaf. Well, He's not nervous either. Psalms 47. Verse 1, clap your hands, all ye nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Come on. Shout to God with cries of joy. Shout to God, for the Lord Most High is awesome. Great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under His feet. He's chosen our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom He loves. God ascends amidst the shouts of joy. The Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Shouts. Man, you should do it. Maybe you're nervous in church, but man, do it in your car. Like when you're driving down the road, I mean, everybody else is like, you know, doing their thing. Whatever. Man, just it's like, just make somebody like look at you like you're crazy. Like you're never going to see him again. And they'll go, oh, they got that hope sticker on the back of their junk car. Right? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Do it at home. Like do it. I love Linda talking about how like at home. I just danced around the house. Shouting around the house. Like that song, I will get, David said this, I will get even more undignified than this. Undignified than this? You're dancing up on a roof. You're dancing naked. How much more undignified can you get? Lay off me. Lifting hands out of reverence and gratitude as a sign of surrender. Psalms 134. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister at night in the house of the Lord. Lift your hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hand in the sanctuary. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord be blessed. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who is the maker of heaven and earth. Lifting your hands. You lift your hands towards God as a sign of surrender, right? As a sign of worship. I was reading John Piper the other day, and he was talking about worship, and he was talking about and he's a Presbyterian, right? Isn't he a Presbyterian, Josh Piper? And but he was talking about, like, he goes, I was in this service. He goes, I'm not a hand raiser. He goes, but I was in this service, and all of a sudden, like, next thing, I was just overcome with the goodness of God. And next thing I know, my hands are just up in the air. He's like, wait a minute. Wait, hold up. But it's a sign of surrender. It's something, like, almost just like this, God, I just worship you. I love you, God. You know? Surrender. You lift your hands up in an attitude of worship. How about this? Another word, a Hebrew word, it means this for worship. It means to touch the strings to make music with instruments, mostly rejoicing, right? Listen to this. Write this. I had to do this in the Living Bible because we don't do lyres and harps and all that. But listen to this in the Living Bible. Hallelujah. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise Him in His temple and in the heavens He made with His mighty power. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise Him, His unequaled greatness. I love that. Praise Him with the trumpet and with the lute and the loop. Okay, with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the drums and dancing. Praise Him on the strings instruments, Brian and Wesley, and the horns. Praise Him with the cymbals. Yes, the loud clanging cymbals. Let everything alive give praises to the Lord. You praise Him. Hallelujah. Like on the cymbals, on the, like we just gave Robert like permission. Look out. Like, do you see? Like this worship is not something, listen, here it is. It's not something you can put in a box. Worship is not something that you go to on Sunday morning. I'm not going to worship. I didn't have a worship service unless you had a worship service. It comes out of a grateful heart to God. It comes out of a place where you say, God, I'm so grateful. I can't dance, but I can sure jump, praise God. There's something in me that gets so excited. You just go, God, you're so good. I don't know how to express it. Like what's inside of me is so jumping on the inside of me. It's going to have to be expressed somehow. And somebody's going to see it. And some people are going to be uncomfortable. But man, you don't know what it costs. You don't know where you don't know where that person next to you's come from. Why does Tyrone shout? He was delivered of drugs. He's no longer the same. This week is so crazy. God got such a hand on his life. Can I share this? So he's working. So he wants to be in drug counseling. That's what he wants to eventually do. So he's doing his hours to be a drug counselor. Right? So as he's doing his drug, this lady hears about him. She's a CPS, Certified Peer Specialist. So they help people like frontline get into programs. Is that right? Something like that? Similar to that? Something to that effect. She hears about Tyrone. This is a government-sponsored thing, right? Hears about what happened to Tyrone. That he was addicted to heroin. Not heroin. Meth. I'm sorry. What's that? No. Bad enough. Right? He's off of drugs, now serving in a thing. And she says, why haven't you told me about this guy before now? He's coming with me. So Tyrone at that point is working overnight, the overnight shift, watching guys at a rehab place sleep, basically. Making sure they don't get up and run off or whatever. So now, she's got him, and she goes, you're coming with me, Tyrone. Now, she's taking him under her wing, and now he's going to walk with him to help him become a CPS himself. And now, his job hours, listen to this, are now 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. That happened just this week. You know why Tyrone shouts? God took a drug addict, cleaned him up, because of you and this church help him walk a straight path. Now he's got a job. He got a job in the field that he wants to be in. And then that's not good enough. So God promotes him to the next level of where he wants to be. He'll still be getting his hours to be a drug counselor. God is rocking his world. That's right. He's a modern day Joseph. I was in the prison, right? Stay away from those women, Tyrone. Some of them will lie. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, it comes out of a place of, man, let's, you know, and let me just say this. Let me just say, just because somebody's raising their hand doesn't mean they're worshiping. Just because somebody's dancing and shouting doesn't mean that's a me and Jesus thing. That's a them and God thing. Am I telling you have to raise your hand to be able to? No. I'm just giving you permission. To express your heart to God in whatever way that is just right out of your heart to God. And in and let me tell you, on a Sunday morning, we do things with decency and in order. I get that. But you're in your home, you're all by yourself. Worship, I'm telling you, worship God at home, you'll be ready to come worship God on a Sunday morning. Because it's something that does on the inside of you. What does that look like? What does that look like? It has nothing to do, not nothing to do. Doesn't always have to do with music. There's a place where this woman came and bowed and worshiped Jesus. There was no band playing. There was no anything. It was just her pouring out her heart to God. So what does that look like? Expressing your gratitude to God. Like as charismatics, we can get just as religious as anybody else in this whole thing. But it's a heart of worship. Remember that song, old song? We're not going to do it. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it is all about you. Brian's like, but it's a heart of gratitude to God. Amen. It's a heart of worship to God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And you know what's crazy? What's crazy is the Bible's promise is, if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. The Bible says the Lord is looking, God is looking for those to worship in spirit and in truth. God is looking for worshipers. He's looking for people. Jack Hayford used to say this. He used to say, if you're looking for God, just start worshiping and God will come find you. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. And He will draw near to you. So in this last few minutes, I want to share about all this. Actually, you know what? You can do what you want. You can stand. You can sit in this moment. I want you, as we do this last song, we're going to do this song one more time. I want you to just connect with the words. And in your heart, just worship Him. Think about, use your mind, think about what God's done for you. There's a family, I want you to call them out, well, it's Mike and Michelle. Mike and Michelle have gone through finding house craziness. Disappointment after disappointment, isn't that right? Disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. They moved into the perfect house yesterday. Because even though some of the things, if I don't mind telling your story, even though there are some times where they would go, "This, I thought this was the best house." And God was like, nope. Roadblock. Disappointed. Until they moved into their house yesterday. That was cheaper, nicer, and perfect for what they need. Amen? God's so good. Amen. We have things to worship God for. Amen? Let's just worship Him. I can't control.
place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be.
Let that be the cry of your heart. I want. Just play that chord progression. Just. Come on, I just want you to, just right out of your heart, I want you to use your mind and think about what God's delivered you from. Think about where God's brought you from. And I want you to open your mouth, and out of your own mouth, right where you're at, you can whisper it to God. If it's super private, just whisper it to Him. And just thank Him right there where you're at. What are you doing? I'm leading you, helping you just to worship. Say, God, thank you, God. God, I thank you, God. God, I was in bondage, God, and you set me free. I was addicted, God, and you set me free, God. God, there was that time where I didn't have enough money, God, and all of a sudden that check came just in time, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that I was lost, God, without you. I thank you, God, that I was lonely, God, and God, you brought me friends and people around me, God. I thank you, God, that you've placed me actually in a church that doesn't judge me, that just we just love right where we're at. God, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you draw me into your presence, God. God, I thank you, God, for my family. God, I thank you, God, for my kids, God. I thank you, God. Come on, right where you're at, just thank Him. Just thank Him. Thank you, God. It's so easy to go negative about our lives, but come on, you have a thanks in you. The Bible says that we enter in His courts with praise and in thanksgiving. So God, we thank you. We thank you, oh God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You came and found me, God. You rescued me. Jesus, worship you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my God. Worship you. So God, I want to give you my life, God. So God, I surrender, God, my life to you. Jesus. Come on, just you and Him. Just you and Him. Goodness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. God, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I thank you, God, that you prepare a table, a feast, when all of my enemies are all around me. God, you cause me to sit at this table and feast on your goodness. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in your house. God, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day where we'll all be with you. Thank you, God. Tell you what we're going to do. Just have your heads bowed before we dismiss. If you're just going through it this morning, maybe you're at a place in your life where you just go, man, I am fighting more battles that I know we sang, this is how I fight my battles. And it maybe looked like I'm surrounded, but I don't really feel surrounded by anything but my trials. You're going through it this morning, or maybe you just want to kind of recommit your life to Him this morning. It's just a you and Him thing. Or maybe you just want prayer. I'm going to ask you, just right where you're at, just step out of your seat and just come down here. We want to pray with you this morning. Just go ahead. You can go ahead and do it right now. If you need prayer for anything. Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you, God. Amen. Just come stand right over here. Just right over here on this side. I love you. Just come stand right here. Anything. You just go on it. Come on up. Hallelujah, God. Father, we thank you. And before we dismiss, let's just, if you've never done it, just lift your hands. It doesn't matter how high. Just kind of as a place of receiving. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love for us, God. And God, we want a worshiper. God, we want to teach us, God, to be worshipers. Teach us, oh God, to bask in your presence, God. Draw us close to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're for us and not against us. That's really good news for me, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said amen? Amen. Well, next week, if I could have some prayer people.